This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. This year, the elements, air, fire, and water, have taken their toll on the earth tended by farmers throughout the nation. The swollen Mississippi River is expected to flood land from the Ohio Valley to the Gulf of Mexico. Hundreds of farmers saw their livelihoods drown when the Corps of Engineers blew up a levee to protect a town. Dina Glenn, farm marketing consultant from Mississippi County, Missouri, says it's flooded about 133,000 acres of farmland. It was about 34 miles long, 11 miles wide, and it's pretty well caused major devastation for the county. They also have old-timers in the community that still remember the 1937 flood, and they say it will deposit a huge amount of sand onto that ground. In the meantime, parts of the Southwest are aching for water. Almost 2.5 million acres of Texas pastureland have gone up in flames thanks to a record-setting drought, according to Matt Felder with the Texas Farm Bureau. Felder says grasses aren't growing out in the pastureland and there is no food for cattle. The past 7 months from October to the end of April has seen the driest seven-month period on record. With more than 1 million acres of Arkansas cropland underwater, the impact of flooding to Arkansas crops and forage is expected to top $500 million, according to preliminary research by ag economists at the Arkansas Farm Bureau. Randy Veach, a cotton, rice, and soybean farmer and president of the Arkansas Farm Bureau, says the effect to Arkansas's commodity crops is staggering and the entire impact can't be adequately determined for several months. Thanks to warm and dry weather, 24-row planters, and the willingness to work 18 to 20 hours a day, Iowa farmers have advanced corn planting from 8% complete a week ago to 69% complete through Sunday, according to the Des Moines Register. According to the Agriculture Department's weekly crop progress report released Monday, 57% of the corn in Nebraska is planted. In Illinois, the second largest corn producer behind Iowa, 34% of the corn is planted. In Indiana, just 4% of the corn is planted, while only 2% of Ohio's corn is seeded. Nationwide, 40% of the corn crop is planted as of May 8th, compared to a five-year average of 59% planted on this date. The Global Harvest Initiative on Monday published the second of five issue briefs outlining policies to sustainably increase the rate of agricultural productivity and address hunger and food security in anticipation of a global population surge to over 9 billion people by 2050. The issue brief, Removing Barriers to Global and Regional Trade in Agriculture, highlights the critical importance of improving food and agricultural trade flows in the coming decades to counter the impact on agricultural supply resulting from changing weather patterns, urban population shifts, and limitations of water, land, and inputs, among other factors. Charles O'Mara, a former USDA trade official and consultative partner with the project, says the balance between agricultural supply and demand is dangerously close, which increases market volatility and the potential for localized or regional events to have global impact on food security. The initiative is a partnership involving Archer Daniels Midland, DuPont, John Deere, and Monsanto. An international team of researchers has sequenced the genomes of two fungal pathogens, one that threatens global wheat supplies and another that limits production of a tree crop valued as a future source for biofuel. The sequencing of the genetic codes of wheat stem rust pathogen and poplar leaf rust pathogen is expected to help researchers develop control strategies to address worldwide threats to wheat fields and tree plantations. The study, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, was a six-year collaborative effort of USDA's Agricultural Research Service, the Energy Department's Joint Genome Institute, the National Science Foundation, the Broad Institute of Harvard and Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the University of Minnesota, and the French National Institute for Agricultural Research. USDA will move quickly to adopt most recommendations from a two-year study on the agency's history of discrimination, according to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. making rural development programs more accessible for women, and appointing a chief diversity officer in state offices are among the recommendations of the assessment by consulting firm Jackson Lewis. The study, which cost $8 million, was ordered after the administration pledged to bring cultural transformation to the agency, which has been charged with discrimination cases many consider to be the most egregious ever filed against the federal government. 1 year ago, Vilsack announced a new civil rights era for USDA and began addressing a backlog of 11,000 equal employment opportunity complaints filed against the agency. Closing discrimination claims made by Hispanic, Black, female, and Native American farmers, many of which are decades old, also has been a priority, according to Vilsack. The federal government has offered settlements in all cases. Pending equal employment opportunity claims at USDA currently total just over 450, the lowest number since officials began keeping track. A recent opinion piece by Donald Boudreau in the Wall Street Journal, If Supermarkets Were Like Schools, challenged readers to think about what might happen if groceries were supplied in the same manner as K-12 education in the U.S. For example, property taxes collected from citizens would be used by government officials to run public supermarkets, and you could shop only at one store closest to where you lived. But a weekly supply of groceries would be free for all. Anyone not liking the nearby supermarket would be free to shop at a private grocery store without a reduction in taxes paid. With consumer choice not being a factor, Boudreau asserts that ultimately the quality of public supermarkets would become a major detriment if of where people chose to live, leading to lower quality food shopping options for low-income people. Boudreau concludes, in reality, if, of course, groceries and other staples of daily life are distributed with extraordinary effectiveness by competitive markets responding to consumer choice. A lobbying push by fast food companies against so-called Happy Meal laws is focused on state legislators. The effort has succeeded in Arizona and is gaining ground in Florida. Supporters are working to stop marketing restrictions before they are put in place at the state or local level. The $184 billion U.S. fast food industry is battling growing interest from the federal government over the way products are marketed to young children as obesity rates continue to increase nationwide. Approximately 17% of Americans between the ages of 2 and 19 are obese, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The excess flab puts them at risk for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and other serious illnesses. In Arizona, a law that takes effect July 20th prohibits counties and cities from regulating toys, games, coupons, crayons, coloring placements, or prizes for children if they are offered at restaurants. The Agriculture Department projects a record U.S. corn crop this year, but despite the expected increase in production, American Farm Bureau Federation economists emphasize that stocks are still tight and corn farmers will need strong yields to meet demand and build stocks to more comfortable levels. USDA released its May World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates on Wednesday, which pegs U.S. corn production at 13.5 billion bushels in 2011. If realized, this would be the largest U.S. crop ever, outdoing the record 13.1 billion bushel corn crop in 2009. Congressional approval of pending trade agreements could hinge on renewing the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program that pays for retraining workers who have lost their jobs to overseas competition, according to the Des Moines Register. The program was expanded in the 2009 stimulus package to include service sector jobs and is expected to cost $2.4 billion this year. Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa has said the program is unaffordable at its current level. AFBF President Bob Stallman testified Thursday before the House Agriculture Committee on the pending trade pacts. USDA's Farm Service Agency will conduct damage assessments in 56 Missouri counties affected by flood, wind, and storm damage in the first step of declaring the counties disaster areas. Farmers who qualify would receive FSA emergency loans or assistance from the Federal Supplemental Revenue Assistance Payments Program. Farmers in counties contiguous to primary disaster areas also could be eligible for assistance, such as low-interest loans and reimbursement for crops damaged by flooding. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.